In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We all prayed that together. It's a verse of Psalm 19 that's very familiar and often used by preachers as the prayer at the beginning of their sermon. I've used it for many years. But I want to tell you that that verse is not just for preachers. Binding our spoken words as well as our silent prayers is an important spiritual discipline. We live in what many call a post-truth society. Back in December of 2016, the Oxford University Press announced that the most important new term in their urban dictionary that year was post-truth. The definition of a post-truth society is one in which personal opinion and feeling become more influential in determining or creating outcomes than reason, fact, and evidence. And so we pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We can hardly turn on the news without hearing someone using speech as a weapon. Civil discourse is rare in the public sector today, and becoming more rare even in the private sector. Untruth is spoken as truth. Misinformation is rampant. Now, it's really, really easy for us to look outward and find examples of destructive, unbridled speech all around us. What is much more difficult and ultimately more important is for us to look honestly at our own habits of speech and reflect upon them as part of our own spiritual discipline. This is part of our calling as Christians, part of our baptismal covenant with God. In the baptismal covenant, we promise to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fall into sin, to repent and return to the Lord. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, and to respect the dignity of every human being. The writer of James writes about the dangers of unbridled speech. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Who among us has not said at least one hurtful thing in the past week? The book of Proverbs asks us, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Who among us has not at least once passed on a rumor without checking first to see if it is, in fact, true? A colleague and friend of mine in the Order of the Ascension, Bishop Scott Benes of Georgia, has written a powerful book about parish ministry and leadership that came out recently called Done and Left Undone, Grace in the Meantime of Ministry. In this book, he cites a study that was done a few years ago by the University of Michigan. They found in this study that when misinformed people were presented with correct information, they rarely changed their minds. On the contrary, they often became even more strongly entrenched in the misinformation and refused to acknowledge the truth. Truth did not cure misinformation. Instead, it often made it stronger. He quotes the lead researcher of that study, who says, "The general idea is that it's absolutely threatening to admit that you are wrong." Bishop Benhaze goes on to say, "This is not exactly news to us sinners. Who among us has not at least once passed on a rumor to someone else without checking first to see if it is true? Where do we go to search for the truth? What sources do we trust?" Many of you know that I have basically no sense of direction, something I was totally born without. So about 7 years ago, as I was preparing to move down here, I bought my first GPS, a TomTom. And this TomTom has served me well for these many years. I've found my way to many of your homes, to hospitals and businesses all around the Tampa area with this tool. However, I think it's probably reaching the end of its useful life. Here's an example. So it used to, when I would get close to my destination, it used to tell me, in 800 yards, your destination will be on the left. That's very helpful, particularly if you're driving down a four-lane highway and you have to know which lane you want to be in. But for about a year now, my TomTom says to me, in 800 yards. In 800 yards, what? Do I need to be in the right lane or the left lane? Which way am I going to turn? You see the problem? Sometimes a partial truth is not very helpful. Sometimes, in fact, a partial truth about a person or a situation can be very misleading. Who among us has not shared a partial truth when a fuller truth was really called for? Peter had a partial truth about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but he did not understand what kind of Messiah Jesus was. Peter had misinformation. And so he took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him because Jesus was talking about suffering and rejection and death. And that did not mesh with Peter's understanding of the Messiah. And so Jesus had to set him straight. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." I'm suggesting that part of denying ourselves and taking up our cross as Christians is paying attention to our own use of speech and taking responsibility for our own use of speech. How do we use words? to break down or to build up? Do we check our facts before we share information? Are we willing to accept that we may be wrong about something? Are we willing to seek for and accept the truth about ourselves, our community, our world? Minding our speech is an important spiritual discipline. Now, in the parish or in any community, rumors, gossip, grumbling act as a poison, as the writer of the letter to James suggests. We've done a lot of work in this community over the years with the Benedictine tradition and the Benedictine rule, which has much wisdom for how to live together in a community, particularly a Christian community. And Benedict, in his rule for the community, warns about grumbling. Guard your lips from harmful or deceptive speech, he says. And also, our obedience is only acceptable to God and agreeable to people if it is free from any grumbling. Benedict in the rule also offers ways for members of the community to take counsel together, to listen deeply to each other, which is part of the obedience. Each one of us has our own, we have to do our own spiritual work regarding our own use of words. No one can do that for us. And given our human propensity to sin, this is a lifelong spiritual practice. We will never be perfect, but we can be better. And all of us have a wonderful opportunity to come together as a parish in 2 weeks for the Parish Development Weekend to take counsel together, to listen to each other. Part of this time will include some data gathering processes, and we would like for everyone's voice to be included. So I'm again encouraging all of you to attend this opportunity for our spiritual growth as a parish community. I will end with a quote from Esther DeWall, who has written beautifully, she's a writer of spirituality, and has written beautifully about the Benedictine tradition in our spiritual lives. Obedience, she says, compels me to reenact in my own life that submission of Christ himself, even though it may lead to suffering and death. And conversion of life means that I must be ready to pick myself up and start over again in a pattern of growth, which will not end until the day of my final dying. And all the time, the journey is based on that gospel paradox of losing life and finding it. My goal is Christ. Amen.